her mouth. She wants to ride it, she's trying to hide it. I'm cool as ever, she's too excited. Her man look like he wanna fight. He ain't doing nothing but running his mouth. Talk about it, we all about it. They making plans, we sit and count.
You guys know I have squirrel problems, right?
Like squirrel problems in your house, or when squirrels go by, you get distracted.
Fair question, yep. Gabe Neitzel. Okay. Squirrel problems in that, remember we had squirrels that were in the walls of our basement, right? When we were renovating our basement with our friends over at PCI, there was something pushing through the wall, so we checked it and happened to be one of the 2x4s, but then underneath it, there was like piles and piles of nuts. Like squirrels saving up for the winter nuts.
Sure.
We had to like pull all that out. And then the squirrels obviously had created a path from the outside to the inside. And so we had to get that all closed up and finally felt like we had fixed our squirrel problem. You know, we also had the treehouse thing. I've shown you guys pictures of the treehouse where it was, again, a storage bin for squirrels. So I thought that we had sort of exercised our squirrel demons, if you will. And I don't know, like a week or so ago, Dario comes into the house and he says, "Hey, have you seen the big fat gray squirrel in the pine tree?" I'm thinking to myself, which one?
A lot of them around.
Big fat gray squirrels. We got a lot of those. He says, he chewed a hole in our garbage gondola, in our garbage can. I said, how? He said he just nibbled and gnawed through the top of the can. You know, it's one of those flip tops. You know, it's just the kind that the truck comes around and puts in the claws and then phoom, throws it over the top. He chewed through the corner of that. And sure enough, like little like gnaw marks in like a perfect little circle, like a perfect little shape of his body. Right. And he was going in there and he was eating our garbage. So we called waste management. We said, hey, we got a squirrel, chewed a hole. Can you bring us another gondola? They said yes. So they said, leave the gondola on the corner. We will grab the garbage with one truck and we'll come back through with another truck and swap out the can, the canister. Do you like gondola? I mean, they're gondolas, but it's weird every time I say
it. I've never heard it called gondola.
Yeah.
This is new to me.
Mm-hmm.
Would you prefer container, can?
I've just always called it a garbage can.
Yeah, it's just a garbage can.
How do you know it's a squirrel?
Well, we've seen him
do it
in and out, right? We've seen him go in. We've seen him go out. We've seen him chitter at us, you know, like when he's all mad.
Sounds like a woodpecker.
No, not a woodpecker. Definitely a big, fat, gray squirrel.
Wait, somebody, what do you think? He just like exported his, you know, he paid the woodpecker to help him out, you know, get the hole big enough so he could slide in and out.
Woodpecker wouldn't go through that.
Yeah, it would.
No. They go. Look, they search wood. They're looking for something else.
No.
Woodpecker.
Number one. That's wrong. They look for hollow spots, no matter what it is. And when they find a hollow spot, that's when they peck away. I have a lot of knowledge of woodpeckers.
So yeah, you do.
So I'm somebody who walks the dog every single day. And
there are no woodpeckers in Bayview, number one, okay? There's barely trees, all right?
Actually,
move out
a lot
my
of trees.
Way.
I don't live
this
in.
This is very.
Speaking of wrong, there are so many things wrong with that sentence.
What I was going to say is, despite the giant park in Bayview where I no longer live that has dozens and thousands of trees, I walk the dog and I get jump scared by squirrels climbing out of those little holes in garbage cans constantly. It happens multiple times a week because they scurry on out and you can see their little teeth marks the way they make like striations in there. It's not a pecking, it's a gnawing.
Yes, and that's exactly what it is. And you can see, it's actually impressive, right? I mean, we're talking about that hard plastic on the top of your garbage can and he just like went to town on it. So we call waste management, they're going to bring us another gondola. Pause that story. I'm out and about at a child's birthday party a few weeks ago. And my next door neighbor happens to be there. Guy who lives right next door to us, him and his wife. They're lovely people. And he says, there's my neighbor. And I was like, oh, hey, how are you? Good to see you. What you been up to? He says, we just got back from Europe. I said, that's fantastic. How was it? He's talking about his trip. I said, I'm actually going to Italy next week, tomorrow. He says, oh, well, if you need anyone to bring your garbage cans back for you while you're there, you just let me know and I'll take care of it. I said, I'm the only one going to Italy. The rest of my family will be home. He says, well, any day, you know, if you need me to bring your garbage can back from the curb to the house, happy to do it.
Oh, I see where this is going.
Is that shade?
Yeah.
You leave your garbage cans out a lot, don't you?
Do we got multiple days happening with the old GCs?
Feels a little shady.
Well, yeah. How long does it usually take for you to bring them back from the curb?
I felt like something's up here. Something's being said here. There's a message that's being said that's not being said, but it's being said. You know what I mean? I said, yeah, I will. Yeah, I'll let them know that, you know. So I go home and I tell the boys. I'm like, hey, how long are you guys keeping the garbage cans out on the curb? He said, well, you know, sometimes a day, sometimes a day and a half. You know, sometimes we are driving through them like they're cones. You know, the recycling on one side and then the garbage on the other, and we're driving through them. So this clearly bothers my neighbor.
You
right?
guys have a reputation.
This is unfair.
What do you mean it's unfair?
What is the statute of limitations on how long the garbage cans can stay at the curb versus how much time do you have to bring them back to the houses? I guess what I'm getting at.
See, in my neighborhood, it's not more when you bring them back. It's when you can put them out. I don't think there's a time limit on bringing them back.
Oh, yeah,
but they say, and I violate this all the time, and I really don't care, the trash can't be brought out if it's picked up. Let's say, when is ours picked up there? On a Thursday, you can't bring it out till like 5 o'clock on a Wednesday.
Yeah,
I didn't know there was a...
That's
leaving it out was a problem.
Isn't that the standard practice? The night prior to the garbage truck coming, you put it out.
That's what we do.
Typically, it's when you get home from work, you go, well, yeah. I'm out here, I'll move this out there.
100%. And so I was thinking about our little timeline, right? Dario doesn't take the garbage out until he gets home from work on Thursday night, which is 11:30.
Yeah, right.
Right? So it's not being rolled out until 11:30 Thursday night. Our garbage picks up. Now here's the tricky part. The garbage gets picked up in the morning. The recycling gets picked up in the afternoon. So it's not like, I get home from work at 9:30, as you guys know. Sometimes the garbage has been picked up when I get home. Sometimes it has not been picked up when I get home. So then I go into the house, let's say, and I'm in the house for the rest of the day. Maybe the next person that drives through one way or another is Dario leaving for work at 3:30. But he's leaving now, so it's not convenient for him to stop and bring it in. Well, so you see what I'm saying here?
Sure.
Convenience.
Yeah, I mean, if we're talking about, you know, peak laziness here, sure, it's not convenient. But on garbage day, maybe when you're leaving for work, you know, step outside 2 minutes before you're going to leave, walk down to the end, drag that stuff in, and then go to work.
So now let me reintroduce the squirrel issue, because I did say to our neighbor, I said, well, actually, we got squirrels that shoot a hole in the top of the garbage can, and waste management told us to leave the can out at the curb. I said, and that was 2 days ago. They didn't come. They didn't come. So it's been sitting out. So I wondered if that morning he saw the can, which was sitting on the curb, which was because we were waiting for the replacement can to come. And so I said that. And here's the last little nugget that I will share with you about the saga of the garbage can and the squirrel. Waste management brought us a new can. It's glorious, beautiful, right? It's got none of the old garbage in the bottom that you're supposed to hose out, but we rarely do. Like, it's pristine.
Yeah.
That little sucker chewed another hole in it immediately. That night, he chewed a hole in the top in almost the exact
all the
same
way through.
Spot.
Let me ask a question. Why does it bother you? Because he's having his meal inside of the trash. So I'd be okay. Have at it.
It's a fair
point.
Not like
he's pulling it back out and eating it. Like, hey. You know, feeding the squirrel.
He's going to his restaurant. He's eating at the restaurant. He's not taking the food home.
He's not taking any doggy bag home. I just live with the hole.
Just let the guy live.
Right?
I don't think the hole is the most... I think the can is supposed to be contained. I think the hole creates a breach, if you will. Right? Rain.
Mm-hmm.
It is a hole, you guys. Like,
It's kind of gets big bod through there.
Because he's eating our garbage, so he's put on LBs, and so all of a sudden that hole starts to, you know.
Jen, you had an issue with this as well, so you could look at it this way. The squirrel's giving you ventilation from the dog poop you're putting in there, so the methane gas is not building up in there. It's venting out.
Yeah, it's not combustible now.
Right? I think the squirrel is doing you a big favor.
I think you should sprinkle something, you know, a little extra in the garbage as a thank you.
little snacky snack?
Yeah,
a little,
something.
A little bird seed
something
in there.
For the effort.
Some sunflower seeds.
I think he's enjoying our offerings more than he would
it's true.
Some bird seeds or anything like that.
Take what you can get, though, if you offer a little extra.
So I just want to be clear. You all are in agreement that my neighbor was absolutely
yes.
letting us know that he thinks we leave our garbage cans on the curb too long.
How old is said neighbor?
How old do you think, Chu?
Yeah.
Well, based upon the neighborhood I live in here, where the median age is probably 75, and all they do is live to enforce the rules of the association, I would say he's probably 75 years old.
Yeah, I think you're about right.
Yeah.
There you go.
Also,
they got nothing to do.
I think we need to determine the duration you're allowed to leave your cans out. I think you have until the night. Basically, everyone gets home from work different times, whatever it is. You have that day. If it's out there the next morning, unless there's extraordinary circumstances, I think you're getting judged. When people leave for work the next day after garbage day and still see it, that's when they're giving you the, what do they got going on at that household?
Right, but also, let me answer that for you. I have all of the children. I have all of the things, all of the jobs, all of the children. Like, there's a part of me that's like, can we not sit here and be like, wow, really, really falling short on your responsibilities over there? What's going on in that house?
Skip something in the house. They can't see that. It takes 2 minutes to let these things roll in. Skip one of the inside. They can't see.
Yeah. Children, you're not being fed this evening. I got to go get the garbage cans.
I also think it's way different. Like, you ostensibly live in a subdivision, I would imagine, and your cans probably aren't blocking a sidewalk. Now, there's people in my neighborhood who will have, like, it'll be out there for 4 days, and you have to navigate around it, especially in the winter. That can be, like, if it's on your driveway, I probably wouldn't think twice, because I don't need to enter your driveway. I got no business there. Now, as Chewy said, a lot of people like to judge others and be, hey, the rule is you get 24 hours, it's now 48. It's nosy neighbors.
Well, and again, in this instance specifically, that day that I happened to run into him at the birthday party, it happened to be the day we were waiting mm-hmm. for waste management to replace the can because the squirrel had chewed the hole in it. Like, and so they were not there when they said they would be there, which was on Friday. So now it's Saturday morning. We're at the birthday party. Yes, the can is still out there. So when he left his house to go to the party, he probably passed it and thought, lazy SOBs. Why did I have to get stuck next to Clark Griswold?
Did it take you until getting home to realize what he was talking about?
No.
Oh, so you didn't mention it right in the moment?
Oh, no, no, no. I mentioned it in the moment for sure.
Okay, gotcha.
Yeah, I had to have an explanation for the behavior. But I'm talking about, it was one of those things where someone says something to you and your brain goes, wait a minute. I think I pick up what you're putting down, but I don't want to jump to conclusions here.
He just wants to live in a nice neighborhood where he's not looking at your garbage can.
800-990-3776. How long do you have to return your garbage cans to your house from the curb on garbage day? Do you have that whole day? Is it by dusk of garbage day you have to have your things brought back to the house? Is it expected when you come back from work? Is it okay if on Saturday morning, you know, everybody's off on Saturday, got less stuff to do, you wheel those suckers back to the side of the house? Let us know, because I'm pretty sure I got garbage can shamed by my neighbor last weekend. 800-990-3776. That is the Carbless talk and text line. Tons of stuff to get to today here on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy now that we're all warmed up. Jason Wilde is coming up next. We will talk to him about Isaiah McDuffie and who might be next for the green and gold to lock up. Stick around.
Ready? Down. Put.
All Packers, all the time.
He was a field-tilting player, and the reason why Gabe and many others are so concerned is that this guy's on the field, he changes the offensive dynamic. They are a different offense when he is there.
Okay, most of the time.
You know, Homer calls Matt LaFleur soft all the time. Matt LaFleur is like Vince Lombardi compared to me.
It's Jason Wilde on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
Reaction rolling in on the Carbless talk and text line, 800-990-3776. We will get to that reaction as the show rolls on. Now it's time for Jason Wilde. Good morning, Jason. How are you doing today?
I'm great. How are you guys?
We are good. We saw the news about Isaiah McDuffie yesterday. What was your reaction when you saw not only that they were bringing him back, but also what they were bringing him back for?
Yeah, I don't think it's an outlandish amount to pay him. I mean, he started every game last season. He knows the system extremely well. He played for Jeff Hafley in college. He's just a steady, solid guy. And I flashed back to, and Chewy, I'm sure Coach has talked about you this way at some point, but, you know, he left the 49ers game briefly with an ankle injury, and then they played 4 days later on Thanksgiving, and no one thought he was going to play. Not Hafley, not LaFleur. And then not only did he play, but he forced a fumble. He had seven tackles. I mean, he played really well. And it was almost like the Isaiah McDuffie Appreciation Society then the rest of the week. Like, LaFleur gushed about him. Hafley gushed about him. Campanile gushed about him. Hafley said he's what's right with this game. I love that guy. So I thought that they'd be able to bring him back on a reasonable, not expensive contract. And let's remember, they're excited about Edgerrin Cooper. They're excited about the direction Quay Walker's headed in. But they do play base once in a while, and they need a third linebacker on the field, and they want it to be Isaiah McDuffie. So this made perfect sense.
Jason, appears that no one wants to trade for Jair, which would point to the direction of they're going to cut him. When is the optimal time to do that?
Yeah, that's a good question. Having talked to three different execs last week about it, everybody was all over the map about what to think they could get for him. But I always go back to the idea that once everyone knows you're going to cut a guy, it makes it a lot harder to trade that guy, right? I mean, you know, I don't know in the Deebo Samuel case. You know, I think it was pretty clear Washington really liked him, and they didn't give up a whole lot for a guy who, when healthy, has been a really good player. But I keep thinking about one of the exchanges that I had where, you know, it was pointed out that Jair's a different cat. And with what's gone on the last 2 years, there are going to be teams that are just going to be like, no, thanks. Yeah, guy's been a great player when he's been healthy, but we can find somebody who's more reliable and less out there. So, you know, again, we'll see. It only takes one team. And the one thing that you have, if you're trying to trade a player, much like Devontae Adams, right? I mean, everybody knows that they're going to cut him if they don't find a trade partner. The one thing you have is if you find a team that says, hey, I don't want to risk it, right? I want to acquire him because then I know and it's worth giving up a pick to make sure that I don't have to compete with other teams to try and get this guy. I feel like Devontae, there's a chance of that. I'm not sure if there's a chance of that with Jair.
With Isaiah McDuffie now being locked up, Jason, who's next? Are they going to focus on someone like Eric Stokes and try to bring him back on a 1 year deal, kind of like they did with AJ Dillon? Or are they going to be looking at, you know, extending guys that are going into the last year of the deals, the guys like Quay Walker or Zach Tom or Rashid Walker?
Yeah, I would think McManus is the next guy that they need to figure out what they're going to do with him, because Goody's been very clear that he wants him back.
There's a deadline today, Jason. I'm just saying.
There is. I've heard that.
I'm just saying. You can franchise tag him and not have to worry about it. I'm just saying.
That's true. And I look forward to writing that story on channel3000.com, and I'll lead with Gabe Neitzel told you. and then the readers will say, who's Gabe Neitzel?
Exactly.
Oh, that's that national guy from ESPN Radio. I think he obviously kicked so well that they want him back. I do think Goody likes to save his pennies or millions wherever he can. So we'll see if that occurs. But he would be the next guy on the to-do list, however you manage to keep his services.
Jason, we were talking about McDuffie this morning on our production meeting, and the guys were wondering what that means for Eric Wilson. What do you think it means for him? I guess Quay and Edgerrin are probably the other guys, as we know, that they want in that linebacking core. But we also noted that he will be 31, Wilson, later this year.
Yeah, I'm wondering what a production meeting is. So I would say this. I would say that I think there's still room on the roster for Wilson. Like, you look at what they carried last year. They carried the two guys you mentioned, obviously. They carried Isaiah McDuffie. And they had Tyron Hopper, right? I mean, I think Eric Wilson showed last year that unless there's a team out there that now sees him, even at age 31, as more than a special team spot starter guy, you know, I think Eric Wilson wants to be here. I think he really likes it here. He's one of those guys in the locker room. He's kind of, Chewy, he's kind of my new Jeff Thomason.
Oh, okay.
Because he played more than JT. Like, one of those guys that doesn't play a whole lot, but you kind of make a good connection with him and you talk to him a lot, because oftentimes the starter is not in that stupid locker in the far corner of the locker room that you couldn't get to. And so, like, I think there's value in him, right? And I think last year, I think he came back on, like, a minimum salary deal. I think he got, like, $167,000 as a signing bonus. Like, he's one of those guys that, you know, we all, there are lots of people that say, well, I don't do this for the money. But I think he's one of the guys that truly does do it just for the game. And if he can get more money, great. And I'll be curious to see if, you know, not to bring this up further, but if you don't have to pay your kicker $6 million and you can pay him $3 million, that leaves you $2.5 million to play with to bring back an Eric Wilson. And let's be realistic about linebackers, right? I mean, no matter how good they are, that's one of the few violent positions left in the game. And even think back to your Super Bowl year with Ron Cox. Yeah. Like, you lose guys, and you need to have guys that you trust that can fill in, even if it's only for a few games. And frankly, one of my criticisms of Goody, and we've talked about this before, is that it's okay to have an older player who, if something happens and you're going to be without, say, Quay Walker for three games, by the way, like you were down the stretch of the regular season, it's good to have a guy that's played a hell of a lot of football, that you know he knows what he's doing. Like, do you want to put Tyron Hopper in there? And I understand that Goody's mentality is young guys have to go through growing pains and come out on the other side. But Tyron Hopper clearly didn't show them enough last season that they were willing to play him on defense. And if you have a chance to get a guy back, he doesn't cost you a whole lot. You know what he's made up of. You know how disciplined he is. You know he's got the best nickname on the team as Body Beautiful. I think that's a guy worth having on your football team.
Jason, do you believe that Zach Tom will get a deal done before training camp? Because if I'm his representative in today's NFL, I'm telling him to sit out. I mean, it can't be just okay for Jordan Love to do it. You know, Zach Tom will be grossly underpaid if he does not get a deal done next year. And I know he's probably not the type of guy to do that, but if I'm his agent, I would be telling him to. Do you agree with that?
Yeah, I do. I do think the timeline, though, is oftentimes, you know, deadlines spur action, as Andrew Brandt loved to say. So July, August make more sense. Look, he played, you know, he obviously had the torn pec last offseason by his own admission. I talked to him for a while in the locker room on locker cleanout day, and he admitted he didn't play as well as he would like to or as he should have, and that it really did affect him, and he didn't want to say that during the year. But that's the risk you run, right? And so that's why you want to get – I am a huge supporter of the hold-in, right? Because you can't hold out anymore, or you can, but, I mean, that rule is kind of murky. Like, the way they wrote it after the last CBA made it sound like you could not avoid the fines if you held out, if you no-showed. Yeah. And it feels like they found a workaround on that anyway. But if I'm him, I'm totally – I'm listening to Mark Chmura. Like, with the money that's involved today – and with the way the game has trended, and with the number of guys that don't play when they're not 100%, then you got guys like we just mentioned, Isaiah McDuffie. Like, those guys are kind of a vanishing breed. And the smart guys go into this and say, hey, there's too much money at stake here. I need to take care of me. And you know this, unless you do it like Sterling Sharp did.
Yeah.
Guys support you. They have your back on that. They understand it. Mm-hmm. Except for Brett with Javon Walker. But other than that, like that's like I think guys would understand and they'd have no problem with Zach doing that. The crazy thing about that 2022 class is that all these guys are going into contract years at once. And I would argue that in some ways, I mean, it's a good problem to have, as coaches like to say, but in some ways, that does make it challenging. Like, look at that class.
This is really
good.
You got
the first two guys, you got the first two guys that are fifth-year option guys, but that number for Quay Walker, because it includes edge rushers, is way more than you want to pay him on a one-year deal.
Mm-hmm.
So do you extend him next? Then you got Devontae Wyatt, who I think you probably just play out the fifth-year option. You got the two wide receivers that you're, you know, one's injured, one's got a concussion issue, so you don't know where you're at with them. Probably let those guys play it out. You got both your starting tackles. And, oh, by the way, you've got Kingsley Enagbare, who I would argue was your most consistent pass rusher last season. So that's a lot to figure out, and that's why there's part of me, even though Domofsky told us, that agents are telling him that the Packers are going to be a player, I do find myself wondering if they're not going to squirrel away some money, thinking, hey, we got too many guys that we like that we want to keep. We got to figure out how to put some of that away and still be active in free agency.
Jason, I know you've been a big advocate that the Packers need to, at times, maybe do some more things for the fans. So I think I know where you stand on them raising ticket prices between $7 and $21, depending upon where you're sitting. But I'm more curious about your thoughts of the Packers letting fans know that if you have sold 100% of your tickets for multiple seasons, that you will not be able to renew those season tickets.
Yeah, you know, Gabe, first of all, you're right about that. And I always like to point this out just because I think it gives you a little bit of backstory. Like, I know people have heard me say this before, but my grandparents were among those who bought season tickets in the 1940s at State Fair Park in Milwaukee. Those have been in my family. I don't know. My brother might be one of those 100% sellers. I don't know. But I didn't love the fact that the Packers made that part of their press release, and they've been doing it for 4 years, and that this affects less than 1% of the 40,000 ticket accounts that they have. So as I was talking to Popke about Aaron Popke, the director of public affairs, and I said, so less than 1%. So this is like less than 400 ticket accounts you're talking about here? He said, yeah, it's even less than that. And it was great misdirection by them, because if you look at the coverage of this, and again, if folks want to say that I'm, you know, a dog with a bone on this and this really sticks in my craw, that's fair criticism, because I don't know if there's any other beat writer that's been complaining about this as loudly as I have. But to make the headline and the coverage that they got was this got a lot of attention, but to make that the centerpiece, when tickets jumped, as you said, $7 to $21 per seat, per game, like the other jumps, like last year it was like 5 to 7 or something like that. Before that, it was like 3 to 5 or 4 to 7. Like 7 to 21 is the biggest jump that's happened by a team that has raised ticket prices 15 of the last 16 years, and the only time they didn't was after COVID. So, I understand they've got a waiting list 7 million people long. Yes, there's other people that want the tickets. I get all that. This is the same organization that is trying to pay fewer taxes to the city of Green Bay. If my house starts on fire, I would like the fire department to have enough money to come put out the fire. So I don't know what exactly they're doing when they have a $536 million rainy day fund. It would be okay to take a holiday for 1 year so the, and say to your fans as a PR move, hey, we're just going to sell more popcorn so you guys can afford your tickets. And if you're tired of seeing Honolulu blue and Vikings purple in the stands, think about why that's happening. Because there's so many people that are trying to defray the cost of their tickets by selling one game or two games. But I'll be honest, Gabe, I don't have a problem with that policy. It's multiple years. It's you didn't go to any games whatsoever. And to me, if that's what you're doing with the tickets, that's more of a business than it is a fandom.
You know, Jason, I hadn't even thought about the red herring element of it. I hadn't even thought about tucking that in there as a sort of, but look at how we're cracking down on all of the other fans who are in our stadium. We're going to protect home field advantage, and then sliding in also the idea of raising ticket prices. That didn't even occur to me. So really good insight there.
And they've been doing it for 4 years.
Right, yeah.
Like, this is not a new concept. So, again, well done. Bravo to them. They did a great job.
Jason, good stuff. We appreciate you hanging out with us. Have a good one, and we'll talk to you again soon.
All right, everybody. Take care. Be good.
Jason Wilde can be heard on Wilde and Tausch right after our show here on 94.5 ESPN Milwaukee. I want to dive into that announcement by the Green Bay Packers, to say nothing of the Friday news dump, which it was, 3 o'clock on Friday. It didn't occur to me that maybe the Green Bay Packers were sort of, look over here, shiny stuff, pay no attention to the man behind the curtain who is raising ticket prices at Lambeau Field. Let's talk about that right after this on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
This is Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
You want more physical harm beset upon people who are trying to earn a living.
I want winners. If someone has to die in order for us to win, then that's the price you pay.
On 94.5 ESPN.
In my mind when she's not right there beside me.
If you missed any of our conversation with Jason Wilde, you can find it on Wisconsin On Demand. We were talking about the Packers' announcement on Friday that they are, in fact, increasing ticket prices for the 2025 season. Anywhere from 7 to 21, is that the number that I saw?
Correct.
Depending on where the tickets are. Mm-hmm. Okay. But the other little thing that got woven into that announcement was that the Packers continued a process that they started several years ago to not renew season tickets of accounts that have sold 100% of their tickets for regular season games for multiple years. Those tickets will not be offered to fans on the waiting list. Will be offered, rather. Those tickets will now be offered to fans on the waiting list. Do we have any idea how long the waiting list is? It seems like some like ungodly number that like people always talk about. Oh, I signed up for season tickets. I'm 487,624 on the list. Like, do we have any idea where it is right now?
No
I couldn't
idea.
Find the information readily available as I was searching during the break. So if anybody knows out there how many.
The Press Gazette in November said it sits at nearly 150,000 names.
150,000. Okay. So theoretically, if I were to sign up today for Packers season tickets, I would be 150,000 plus on the list, assuming nobody else has signed up between then and now. Which
with an average renewal rate of 99%, the wait time to get tickets is estimated 30 to 50 years.
Crazy. I like it in theory. I don't like it in principle. I like what the Packers are trying to do by saying we're trying to keep Lambeau Field for Packers fans. We want as many green and gold people in the stands as possible. And I know Jason referenced the Lions and the Vikings, too. But I also think that if my family has season tickets for the Green Bay Packers and they have fallen to me and I have decided that I would rather use it as a money-making opportunity for me and my family, I sort of feel like that should be my decision. I sort of feel like I shouldn't be penalized for that. Am I wrong in thinking that?
Is it that, or is it the Packers don't want anyone making money off of their brand? Because there are things that happened over the years that would lead me. It, you know, it's probably the hand in hand with keeping opponents' fans from the game. But don't undersell. Packers do not like anybody making money off of their brand. So I don't like it. I wanted to ask you guys, how do they track it? So if I have four
it's so easy.
Everything's electronic now.
That's how?
Yeah, mm-hmm. They don't give you tickets.
Yeah.
And the way you have to sell them is through the Ticketmaster site. So they're able to track the...
I mean, so that's how they track it.
Hypothetically, okay. If you wanted to try to keep... I mean, you could have your buddy Venmo you whatever the cost for the tickets, and then you just forward those tickets onto him. So, I mean, there are ways around it, but more often than not, people are just putting it up on the Ticketmaster app or StubHub or whatever.
But let's not get lost in the Packers are nice guys. They're running a business, and I agree how they run their business. They want to maximize their dollars. They go to the city and ask for a rent reduction. Well, typically that only happens, a rent reduction, when the person renting your building isn't doing well. Not when they're killing it.
I think they're doing okay.
So let's just tread lightly on the nice guys. And that's why I was saying to Zach, you know, talking about Zach Tom. Because Zach Tom's a nice guy, and the Packers will take advantage of him and be like, we didn't think you had it in you not to hold out and stuff like that. In today's NFL, I probably would have done the same. Now, I didn't like it when I played, when Sterling Sharp stood up and said, I'm not playing tomorrow on Lega. That pissed me off so much. Now, today... With you know, how these organizations work and how big the business is, I would probably do the same thing. All I'm saying is, and I don't know how I got lost in the weeds here.
You don't know how?
Yeah, it can't be afforded just to Jordan Love to say, well, it's okay for him to hold out because he's special.
No,
it's afforded based on to everyone leverage. Across the board.
But I think, going back to the ticket thing, I think Jason brought up a great point of this just whole being a red herring of them raising ticket prices again.
Yeah.
So I went back... Chewy, in 1997, you could go watch your team fresh off the Super Bowl, fresh off the Packers' first Super Bowl in 29 years, for between $32 and $90.
Seems reasonable.
That's how much that
seems
cost.
Seems like a bit of a deal.
In 1997.
Yeah. What's so the like cheapest ticket today?
I think they have it in the press release. They gave the ranges.
Yeah. Is it 100? Is it over 100?
I believe it is over $100.
Yeah, and so you're talking about a family of four, which is typically like what you think about, mom, dad, a couple of kids, or whatever, however your family makeup is. You're talking about $500.
It's damn near $1,000 all included to go to a Packers game.
All right, and I'm talking about you're not even eating. Right. You're just sitting there watching the game.
And you're finding a place to park on the street for free. And it's so if you want to actually defend home field advantage, you got to make these tickets more reasonable.
Well, yeah, and far be it for me to defend the Packers ever. I think season tickets are a privilege, not a right to anybody who has them. But raising the tickets every year as a company that's listed as a nonprofit, that is listed as a company is community owned, that is in the smallest market in all the NFL, all of professional sports, actually, if you want to boil it down that far, to tout that we are middle of the road in far of ticket prices is like abjectly offensive to me. You should be in the bottom quarter every single year because the community that supports your team, the community that saved your team, needs to be able to afford to go to those games.
Well, and theoretically, a lot of the people who want to go to the games already plunked down whatever the cost is for stock.
Correct.
That sits on their walls in their dens.
Right. Last year,
which is worthless.
Last year, the Green Bay Packers made $60 million, and we know that because they have to make that available to us. So if you're telling me... If we don't raise tickets this year, you make $57 million instead that you get to add to your little pool of a half a billion dollars? What is the advantage other than taking advantage of your fan base that is so loyal that they go, I mean, it's more expensive, but that's the price of doing business.
Well, and that's why the inclusion of the crackdown in the press release is a little insulting. Because, as we mentioned, it is just to distract from the fact that they did raise the prices for everybody else. But it also makes it seem like we're tough guys.
Yes.
We're cracking down on all those visitors who are coming to our place. When really, as Jason mentioned, not all, but some of these people might just be trying to get a return on their investment. And I know they said 100%. I know they said 100% for multiple years. But I also got to tell you guys, if my financial situation and my family was such that we needed that money, that we needed it to go elsewhere, I shouldn't be penalized for that. Like that, like that's just the reality. If I was lucky enough to get season tickets at some point, because my family passed them down to me, and we have made the determination, we have made the economic decision that that's what's best for our group and our family, I don't think the Packers should be able to punish us for that.
But then just go to one game.
Well, I agree. That's the workaround. Yeah.
Like, just
that
go
is
to
the workaround.
Go to a game.
If you want to keep your tickets,
and I'm
keep
sure
one group of them.
And I'm sure, again, a lot of these people, I'm sure, because again, these tickets are expensive. So in order to actually afford them, like you, if you sell, you know, if you've got the whatever Green Bay package, you got six of the games, you sell five, you're basically going to the sixth for free.
Yeah,
right? Like you pick one, you're still making money off of it. You go to one, you get to keep their tickets. Like this isn't unreasonable. And again, Jason pointed out, it's less than 1% of the accounts that are actually.
So then what justifies the crackdown then? If it's so small, the number of people that it actually applies to, what is incentivizing the crackdown? That's what makes me believe Chewy's theory, which is we don't want anybody else making money off of our product.
Mm-hmm.
We make money off of our product. You don't make money off of our product. Because to your point, if it's so small, is it really that big of a deal? Unless you can tell me that every single one of those tickets is going to a Lions fan when they're playing the Lions, and that's contributing to a lack of home field advantage, and it is affecting the players on the field, and it is affecting the product. Like, if you can make that argument for me or sell that to me, maybe I'll bite. But otherwise, it just feels unnecessary.
And wasn't there a huge seat tax years ago that they had to come up with and they had to pay that, which got you essentially nothing? It's just like, okay, you can continue being a season ticket holder.
It was a license fee.
A lot of people struggled to come up with that because it was sizable, wasn't it?
I believe it was $2,500 per ticket. So if you had a set of four, you were in nearly $10,000. I think it also, the Packers are talking out of both sides of their mouth. If you keep raising prices, people are therefore more likely to sell their tickets. So if home field advantage is something you're searching for, a continual rise of whatever percentage every single year, except for the 1 year there was an economic downturn based on a pandemic. Aside from that, you keep raising prices. People would go to more games if it was more affordable. It's that simple.
Yeah, you're right.
Yeah, I mean, fans would continue to go.
Right.
Instead, you make it priced for, you know, the elite. Like, if you want your hardcore fans there making noise, games are too expensive.
Right.
Again, going back to, it was $32 to go watch Chewy and the team that just won a Super Bowl in 1997.
I want to get to the Carbo's Talking text line very quickly, 800-990-3776. Jason in the 262 says, we only sell local and only to a group of 50% Packers fans. So I guess there is a way that you can vet out who you might be selling to. Feels like a little more work. But again, to Jason's point, if I want to sell and I want to sell to Packers fans, shouldn't that be allowed? I'm not affecting your home field advantage, but I'm still selling the tickets to other Packers fans. Justin in Jacksonville says, what happens if you don't live in Wisconsin? I'm guessing Justin doesn't, since he's Justin in Jacksonville.
I've been
on the wait list for years. Finally get the tickets. I can't make it to every home game, but I definitely wouldn't pass up the opportunity to have the season tickets.
I think you can make it to a game every other year. Because again,
but is
it's
that
not
enough,
just
Gabe?
It's just not it, yeah. Because it's not 100% for 1 year. It's 100% for multiple years. So realistically, you have to go to one game every other year in order to keep your tickets. It's really not that unreasonable. I think it's not that unreasonable to ask you if you want these so bad. You're such a big Packers fan. You waited on this list for years and years and years. Going to a game every other year to me is not an unreasonable ask because that list is so long.
I'm totally indifferent also to who you sell your tickets to. If you're going to keep charging me more and more, I'm going to sell them to the highest bidder.
Yeah, whoever wants to pay that money.
Too bad.
Whoever wants to pay the amount.
If these tickets were $70 a pop, and it was feasible for me to go to 4, 5, 6 games, I wouldn't be selling my ticket. It's that simple to me. Now, it's great. I understand you want your team to win. You want to help them out. But if a Detroit fan is offering me 3X, have at it, buddy. Go root your heart out.
have fun in Atlanta.
Right. Enjoy it. Stop at the Hall of Fame they got there.
Definitely do the wave when the Packers are on offense.
I don't care.
800-990-3776. Very interesting conversation. Again, I understand all of the reasons why the Packers would do something like this. I still don't love it. And I also understand that a ticket is more of a rental than a purchase. You're basically renting the seat that you're in. The Packers still own the seat.
Mm-hmm.
The ticket is basically your rental of that seat for that game. I understand it all. It just left a bad taste in my mouth when I read it. Let us know what you think. 800-990-3776. Still a lot of stuff to get to this morning on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. Stick around.
This is Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
I thought Salvation Army. That they hear their name when it's non-scheduled, that's what they want to hear.
I could hear Ashy laughing in the background.
Am I right or wrong?
He's not wrong. Hey, he's not wrong. He's not wrong.
He is wrong.
On 94.5 ESPN.
March, and that means tournament time. You can watch college basketball's best players shine on the court chasing the ultimate trophy. Where else? Pottawatomie Sportsbook. All the high-flying action is on the massive video wall. They've got sports betting kiosks, drink specials, and more. It is a basketball fan's paradise. Bet above the rest, only at the Pottawatomie Sportsbook. It's a Hughes Day here on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy, so who else would we talk to here first on the phone lines this morning than Hugh in Waukesha? Good morning, Hugh.
Good morning, guys.
What's happening?
You got thoughts on the tickets?
I have really strong feelings about this. I love the Packers. I'm blessed to have season tickets. I like to share that blessing with my friends, with acquaintances, with someone that I meet, you know, hey, I've never been. I love to share that. I lived in Missouri for 22 years. I was 10 hours away from Green Bay. I sold my tickets 100% of the time for multiple years because it was just inconvenient for me to get up here. But I usually found Packer fans to sell them to because they're everywhere. And so it's not hard to do that. So I object to that. And then the team doesn't do anything for me as a season ticket holder, especially a Milwaukee season ticket holder, to make it more convenient to go to the game. They don't. 2 years ago, all of my games were like Thursday night or Sunday night. In addition to the cost of the game, it cost me a day of vacation. I had to take extra time off of work because the schedule was just not set up nice for somebody that had Milwaukee tickets. So even though it's a two-hour drive, you know, you get home at 3 o'clock in the morning after a Thursday night game, I'm not going to work on Friday. So I should be able to do what I want with my tickets.
Hugh, we appreciate the call. That certainly is one opinion, and I have seen that on social media. I have heard people talking about that. It does feel a little Big Brother-esque to be governing what you do with your season tickets. But again, I think the point that was made by Jason Wilde earlier was some of this inclusion in the dump, the news dump on Friday, was just to distract from the fact that ticket prices are going up. More Jen, Gabe, and Chewy right after this.